It's Debbie's ideas that begin to take shape when we return to Ambridge. The Archers continues this evening, just after seven, or if this is a good time for you, tomorrow afternoon, 2 minutes past 2.
I think politicians are people we love to hate.
BBC Radio 4 looks at the public's cynicism towards politicians.
Political parties and politicians are prone to try and outbid each other in what they can promise to the electorate.
What's the first word I think of when I hear the word politician? Being dishonest?
Parliament is full of teachers, doctors, businessmen even, who when they're working in their respective professions are rated quite highly by the public, but once they're elected, their popularity plunges.
BBC Radio 4 goes in defence of politics, starting this Monday night at 8 o'clock.
The Russians begin to turn the tables on the Germans now in life and fate. But Zhenya can't commit to her lover, Novikov, with her ex-husband still on her mind.
Life and Fate by Vasily Grossman. Dramatised for radio by Jonathan Myerson and Mike Walker. Novikov's story. En route to Stalingrad, November 1942.
Dementi Trifonovich Getmanov. Son of peasants. Party member. Party worker for as long as I can remember. When I was a lad, the security boys got in touch. Asked me to keep my eyes and ears open. Later, I was bodyguard to the secretary of the area party committee in the Ukraine. I got noticed, sent on courses, got a reputation as being dependable. That was in 1937, when you needed to know your arse from your elbow, believe me. I got the job done and got promoted. And by 1940, I was local party secretary. Then Bloody Fritz arrived in the area and I was out of a job. Galina, that's the missus, Galina Terentievna, and two girls and a lad, well, we moved on in front of the advance and ended up in Ufa. Then I got a posting. I was moving out in the morning, so we had a little gathering. Galina's brother Nicky and an old mate of mine, Mashuk, worked for the security service. Kind of fellow, knows which way the wind blows, if you get my drift.
Of course Nicky wants vodka. When didn't he?
Oh, sister, you make me out to be a drunk next.
You're a Russian.
I'm a Ukrainian.
I remember that, Ottoman Galina. From your old flat. Congratulations in getting it out.
Oh, I wasn't going to let the Fritzes get it. No chance. Anyway, it's Dima's favourite. He says he can't work at home without it.
You mean he can't sleep at home without it?
So, vodka all round?
There's a bottle of the good stuff beside the stove in the cupboard there, right at the back.
Don't worry, Dima. I know where you hide your booze. No.
Hey, you need to be careful in your new posting, Dima, or she'll find out about whatever pretty little nurses you pick up. Yeah, she's sharp.
Oh, come off it. I'm an old married bloke now.
Yeah, really, really, yeah. What about that welder girl from Vladivostok?
See? I only have to leave the room. You're all talking nonsense.
So where are you off to this time, Dima?
Commissar to a tank corps outside Stalingrad.
Oh, you sound like you hope for something better.
There's nothing better than serving the party, comrade, wherever they send you. But... No, wait. A toast first. Our father Stalin. May he always remain in good health and continue to lead us to victory.
Our father.
Our father. Father.
But hasn't Khrushchev been posted to the Stalingrad front? He knows your work from the Ukraine. You won't be short of friends in high places.
But a tank corps, it isn't a lot.
It's a bit of a demotion, in one way.
The commander of this particular corps has just been promoted, a Colonel Novikov. Novikov.
That's the fellow. A colonel, but running a tank corps. I don't think he did anything much before the war.
Not part of the establishment, then?
Absolutely not. But I've heard he's a good soldier, decent fellow.
His chief of staff, General Neudobnov, is made of the right stuff. I met him at the 18th Party Conference and later at Beria's flat. He's very...
well-placed.
Well, everything goes crazy in war. He's a general, second in command to a colonel.
Yes, but he doesn't really have any wartime experience.
Neudobnov? Party member since the revolution?
It's like you say, war turns everything upside down.
What about Nikolai Kremov? The man from Moscow. Do you know about him at all?
Didn't he used to work in the Comintern? Bit of a chancer, I seem to remember.
Well, it appears this Colonel Novikov intends to marry Krimov's ex-wife.
Yes, I do recall the man, mixed up with various opposition figures.
Probably why his wife left him. Sounds like the man's an unreliable element.
You know, I have a feeling that the wife might be the unreliable element. Maybe that's why the colonel's marrying her. Maybe he's unreliable too.
Who knows with these questions?
Surely what matters is that they love each other.
Love is fundamental, but there are other things a Soviet citizen needs to take account of.
We must be aware of everything. That's true enough.
Oh, you're a strange lot. Who are you fighting here? Each other or the Germans?
Absolutely. Even Stalin's own sons are fighting. Well, I think one got captured, didn't he? Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Absolutely, Nicky. You don't know, so best keep your gob shut.
As usual, Galina talks sense. Now, all our hearts stand beside Stalin where the struggle is hottest. To victory. Mm. In today's paper, the editorial, pass it over. Nicky. Stalin, he writes...
Oh, my lord. What's... Oh.
Someone appears to have crayoned a beard and earrings on Stalin's photo.
What's that boy of mine? What in hell has he been getting up to? Galina, I expect better in my own household.
But he loves Stalin. He said so at bedtime. He loves Uncle Joseph as much as his papa.
Oh, it's only a kid's prank. It doesn't mean anything, does it?
It's malicious hooliganism.
Dima, he's only four.
There's no excuse in my position, especially in my position.
Well, one has to make allowances at that age.
Oh, bless you for saying so.
Yes, indeed. Our children, our future. And now we must let our warrior prepare himself for departure. Come on, Nicky. We'll say goodnight.
Take care, Dima.
Yeah.
Really, the party needs men like you.
You give them hell, Dima. Kick those German dogs out of our Ukraine, eh?
All the way back to Berlin. Thanks for coming round. And...
Galina, any problems? You come and see me. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
That boy. I could... It's never easy leaving you. I mean, I'll go wherever the party sends me, but...
We'll be all right. You know that. Mashuk said...
What Mashuk says and what Mashuk means are two different things, Galina. With Mashuk, you always listen hardest to what he doesn't say.
He said it didn't matter. It was just a kid playing around.
And in 5 years' time, they'll be discussing whether to appoint me to some top job. And Mashuk will pause just for a moment, one moment... And they'll all understand, everyone in the room, that maybe Getmanov's not the man for this one. They don't forget.
Then you better go to Stalingrad and do something that will make them forget.
The car will be here soon. I'll just go in and sit with the children.
Don't wake them.
I won't. Don't worry.
Sitting there, looking at the little ones, my heart was beating so loud... I put my hand over my chest to muffle the noise so it didn't wake them up. Oh, I wasn't worried about taking up this new job. I'd taken on many new jobs, never had any trouble finding the correct line to follow. But this tenderness, this utter, total, unreasoning love left me lost. And then I got up and left the room and Galina had my bag and I kissed her. And I went out into the night. I went to Stalingrad.
Novikov, Pyotr Pavlovich, Colonel. At that time, I was in command of the 4th Tank Corps, stationed in a village in the Urals, surrounded by forest. That's where I used to walk whenever I could find the time. It was a strange situation. I was a colonel. My second in command, Neo Dobnov, was a general. But then I was an army colonel and he was a political general. And then we got this new commissar foisted on us. Getmanov had a reputation as a hard man. The thing you want to know about is that I was, at that time, I was in love. for the first time, in love. She was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. She was everything to me. Is that what everyone says? Well, it's true. It's true. Yevgenia Shaposhnikova.
At ease.
Zhenya.
Well, Comrade Colonel, what's the news?
We go today. Entrain the corps, move into the front line of Stalingrad. Looks like this is it, Comrade Commissar.
It's what we've been waiting for. Now we kick back. Now, where's that brandy? Let's see him on the front line. Have you issued the orders?
Already done. Will you want to talk to the men?
Absolutely. This is going to be the most important few days of the war so far. And we, Pyotr Pavlovich, are going to be the steel toe cap of the boot that goes right up Hitler's arse. So what do we drink to?
Let's drink to the lads we're about to lead into battle. Let's hope we don't lose too many of them.
Damn right. The lads. Our most precious resource.
And, of course, to the old man. May we justify his faith in us?
Of course. He'll lead us to Berlin. So, General Neodobnov, you're 2IC.
Hmm?
Good bloke. Old Bolshevik, real Stalinist. I remember him from 1937 when he was sent to clean up the military district. Well, I wasn't exactly running a play school myself back then, but he was like a scythe. Whole cadres liquidated. He had the total confidence of Yezhov and the security service.
Before Yezhov was arrested and shot.
Yeah, some people did go too far back then, just like now. And let me be straight with you, comrade. Shooting our own men because they're forced to retreat? Not a good idea. Still, Beria himself thinks Neodobnov's a good man, and he never misjudges people.
Yes, I suppose.
My arse, your face! That was a comrade colonel's son! No holes, see? No holes!
Will you two fire eaters keep it down?
We're trying to fight a war in here!
Aye, we're trying to sort out the laundry in here, comrade commissar!
Ah, General Neodobnov arrives at the opportune moment. Here, have a drink, General.
Thank you, commissar.
Colonel, I've had word from the hospital. Mikhailov won't be out for 6 weeks at least. We'll need another chief of staff for the 2nd Brigade.
We could appoint Major Basingov temporarily. He knows what's what. A lot of combat experience. Does the commissar have any objections?
Well, of course not. It's not for me to object. Although the 2nd already has an Armenian major. Do you want the chief to be a Kalmyk?
Well, that's how we all feel. But then Marxism has taught us to look at these things differently.
What matters is how well the man in question can lead his men to fight Fritz. I'm not interested in how his grandfather prayed.
Quite right. On the other hand, what does a real Russian have to do to get command or anything else these days? It's always the bloody nationalities who get the job. We're becoming the minority here.
Yeah, we're doing most of the work.
You think I'm favouring Kalmyks?
Not for me to say. But these people, Comrade Colonel, in the end, where does their loyalty lie? Lenin and our father Stalin are making something new. True socialism in one country. And I only question, that's all, where their commitment lies.
All right. We'll give it to Sazonov.
Yeah, fine, soldier.
I'll draft the orders at once.
Yes, please do that, General. Commissar, would you like to inspect the tanks before we start out for the railhead?
That's more like it. We'll leave the General at his desk and we'll get outside in the fresh air.
Very good. Yes, good work, lads. Keep it up, boys.
That's it, lads. We'll show the Fritzes, eh? First Stalingrad, then into the Ukraine. That'll be the 4th Corps.
As long as our orders take us that way, comrade. Fine work, boys.
Don't you worry about the orders, comrade. Hey, Red Army man, how's it going?
Going well, comrade commissar.
No problems, then.
Why should there be? I love my tank. I came from my village to the training school, and there she was.
Love at first sight, eh?
That's it, comrade.
If you could, you'd have had a family of baby tanks, eh? What's her name?
Zhenya!
Oh, that's a good name, right, comrade colonel? Now, you look after her, she'll look after you, soldier. And both of you are going to give Fritz hell, right?
Right!
Love, eh? Looking at the route, I notice we'll be passing through Kubyshev. Next stop, Stalingrad, eh, boys? Doesn't your lady friend live there? Who is it? Yevgenia Shaposhnikova, I believe. Zhenya?
And if she does? Looking good, soldier? Ready to give the Fritz's hell, right?
There we are, Comrade Colonel.
Oh, nothing at all, except that I expect you'll be ready and eager to get your big gun into action and all.
Move them out! Move them out!
Notice, Comrade Colonel, all our lads look the same.
Of course. That's why they're picked. Short and strong. They can move about inside their tanks.
They look ready, eager.
They are. They want to get stuck in. What about you, Comrade Commissar? Are you ready?
More than ready.
You ever been in a tank battle?
I've done my share of fighting.
Ever been in a battle?
This will be my first. You?
I've been in it since the start.
Hope that doesn't mean you've lost your appetite. All the way to the Ukraine.
All the way to Berlin.
Evgenia Nikolaevna Sharposhnikova. I was still living in Kuibyshev. 2 days by train from Stalingrad. Yes. Novikov. Somehow I always thought of him as that and not Pyotr Pavlovich. We were in love. We met and we were in love. Well, if it was as simple as that, but of course it never is. The thing was, Krymov. Always Krymov. Together and now separated. He was always a presence in my life, far more in mine than I think I had ever been in his. And Novikov? A good man. I loved him. I did, and I know he loved me. Was that it? To love or to be loved? To accept that you are worth being loved? Could I find that in myself? Could I save myself? Could he save me?
Zhenya!
You've come a long way?
From the station. We're passing through. Didn't you get my letter?
Let me look at you.
It's nothing, you see. Distance. Don't you understand that yet, Zhenya?
You must be hungry. You smell of petrol and...
You smell of clean washing. And of you. Only you. My Zhenya.
Yes. Yes.
What is it? You're not eating. Has our commanding officer forgotten the taste of black bread?
No. I was thinking. That's all.
There's kasha. I put it outside. The frost has turned the grains to blue. It's like lilac.
Ah. I never did like lilac. But the bread is good. It's real Russian bread. At the beginning of all this.
This?
Of the war. I was with a fighter squadron near Brest-Litovsk. The pilots all rushed back to the airfield and I heard some Polish woman shout out, "Who's that?" And this kid piped up, "It's a Russian soldier." And right at that moment, I felt, yes, I'm Russian.
Through and through.
I mean, I've always known that. I'm not a Turk, but at that moment, I've never felt it so strongly. Everything in me saying, yes, I'm a Russian. That's what I am. A true son of the working classes.
Unlike me, a true bourgeoise.
And this room is tiny.
It belonged to a German woman. Oh. She took me in. The bed, it's hers. It sounds odd when we're at war, but I'm sure there's no kinder person in the whole world than her.
Where is she now?
Oh, the war's over for her. She's been deported. What's going to become of us all?
You're going to become Mrs. Novikova.
But I don't even know you.
Let me introduce myself. I'm the man who just made love to you. Pyotr Pavlovich Novikov. I'm also the man who loves you. And you are? Zhenya?
If anything should happen to Krimov, I mean, if he ends up in prison or anything, then I'll go back to him. You have to know that, Pyotr.
Why should he go to prison?
I don't know. He knew Trotsky. Trotsky said about one of his articles, that's pure marble.
Go back to him. He'll only send you away.
Yes. Maybe.
Look, after this is over, when we're married, we'll have a house. Like this one, but all for us. No one else, apart from our children.
How many children?
Oh, a tribe. 5 boys and 5 girls.
Sounds like hard work to me. And who wants a big house?
Very well. I'll leave the army and work on a building site and we can doss down in the married workers' hostel.
Maybe not the married workers.
That's the essential part.
But why are you telling me all of this?
What do you mean? But no, doesn't matter. Just being here now with you, that's all I want. Here. Now. This moment.
But now, this moment, is the time to leave.
Oh, hell. I wish I could stay.
There's so much I wanted to say. I haven't said any of it. Oh, it's a cold night.
It's always a cold night. But a loving one. A loving heart.
Yes. Above all things. A loving heart. So much I wanted to say. I wanted to tell him how I felt about Krimov. I was to tell him about Limonov. About Jenny. And who she really was. And what she really meant to me. I wanted to tell him about the residence permit and how somehow I'd always thought that I could remake it all, bring back the past. I wanted to tell him everything, and I told him nothing at all. I wanted to ask him everything, and I asked him about eating black bread. Is it possible to lose everything because we don't speak when we must? I was an idiot. I loved him. I mean, who needed someone like Krimov? He certainly never needed me, and I had my tank commander. Oh, I was a fool. I didn't know. But who does?
Your tea, Comrade Colonel?
And, will he be wanting a meal?
What happens if I don't, Vershkov? You get to eat it?
Well, nothing goes to waste in this army.
I'm sure it doesn't. I don't want anything further.
Not interrupting anything, am I?
Comrade Commissar. You'll be wanting tea too, and no food too, I suppose?
Nothing. Get out.
At your service, comrade.
Cheeky bugger. He'll go too far one day.
Because he was implying you had a girlfriend?
I don't like his attitude toward a party member.
Well, comrade, I like his cooking.
Of course. The decision is yours. Here, I picked up some vodka in town. Hope I didn't pick up anything else, eh? Let's have a drink. Something I need to talk over with you. To our father.
Our father Stalin. And our lads.
Our lads. Now, whilst you were out, General Neodobnov and I were having a... Well, I'm a straight man myself, and I want to be straight with you. We were talking about Comrade Shaposhnikova. You know, her brother went under in 1937.
What's that to me?
Stay with me, comrade, just a while. The comrade general knew the brother. Then her first husband, Krimov, only got through by, as they say, a miracle. And the comrade general was saying that he feels you shouldn't really be involved with someone whose social and political background is so dubious. Especially at a time when, how did he put it, Stalin and the whole nation is putting such confidence in him.
What business is my private life of his?
Oh, I agree, of course. That's the 1937 way of thinking. We see things differently now. General Rokossovsky was in a camp, got called to the office and told he was now in command of an army. I think he complained. They might have let me wash my socks first. Who knows? They may release Shaposhnikov next. And Krimov is at the front right now.
To hell with this! I never met Zhenya's brother, or this Krimov. Southerman wrote an article Trotsky said was pure marble. So bloody what? I don't give a damn if Trotsky, Rykov, and Pushkin were all head over heels in love with him. I've never even seen his bloody articles. And as far as I'm concerned, I wish he'd get the hell out of Zhenya's life. They can build his bloody tomb out of that marble if they want, right?
Right.
And tell me, Comrade Commissar, has the Comrade General been in a fight? No, he bloody hasn't. Well, we've got one hell of a fight ahead of us, and we better be ready for that. Not for who said what to who, when, where, and... I don't care, right?
Right.
I care about my corps, my men, my tanks. And yes, I care about Zhenya Shaposhnikova. And the rest? Every bloody piece of it can go to hell, along with the Comrade General.
You are a real man, Pyotr Pavlovich. Let me embrace you. And now, let's drink to brotherhood. In it to the end, and to victory.
Karitonov!
Ready, Comrade Colonel!
We're going to Army HQ. Comrade Commissar, if you don't get left behind, then climb aboard.
Coming! Comrade General, if you need us, call through to GHQ. General?
Are those planes getting closer? I think, do you think...
They're ours, not to worry.
I wouldn't be too sure of that.
Bloody hell, the idiots, can't they see?
Karitonov, get back in the jeep. You're still alive.
Look at the general, not a flicker. Well done, your first bomb, Neodobnov, old fellow.
Absolutely. That was quite exciting.
For me too.
I suppose you're used to them, Comrade Colonel.
Yes, but I still wish they'd save them for the Fritzes.
Comrades, Operation Uranus will commence at 0730 hours tomorrow morning, 19th of November. The artillery on the Don and the southwestern fronts will commence a bombardment of the German forces within the Stalingrad perimeter. We have over 14,000 heavy artillery pieces. The barrage will be total. At 0850, the 1st Guards Army and the 5th Tank Army will advance and punch through. On the 20th, a second offensive will be launched from the south, both forces executing a pincers movement. We will isolate the German forces within Stalingrad with the pincers closing on Kalach. It is, comrades, what one might call a classic blitzkrieg attack, but this time turned against the Germans. We have over 1 million men, 1,000 tanks, 1,500 aircraft. We also have the winter, which will impede his movements whilst facilitating ours. With this one move, comrades, we have the chance of winning the campaign, not only in Stalingrad, but eventually across the whole of southern Russia. Our country is giving us its best. Comrade Stalin will be watching us. I know none of you will disappoint our father or our mother Russia. Now, report to your units and prepare to give those bastards a beating they'll never forget.
Yeah. Now, Gitmanov, that's the kind of speech I like to hear. Not that airy-fairy theoretical stuff those fellows like Krimov are always spouting. Practical, tough, words like tanks.
Right with you, Comrade Colonel. To hell with theorists, bring on the tankists.
Morning, Commissar. Tea?
We've had enough tea and sugar, comrade. Now it's time to deal with the Germans.
What are we waiting for, then? The barrage starts at 07:30. Vershkov, take my tank to the observation point. I'll meet you there.
Yes, Comrade Colonel. I'll load all your gear. And the Commissar's too.
General Kalvushin just phoned. He wanted to know if the Corps Commander was at the observation point yet.
You're on the way. Near Dobnov. I'm relying on you for communications. Keep them clear, whatever the cost. You understand? Let's go, Kuritanov. Every commander must be instantly available to me by radio.
What is it? Why haven't they started?
It's not time yet.
How long? Hell, I know how long, but it seems like forever.
Borrow my watch. 10, 7, 5, 3, 2.
God, my God! It's immense!
Body is shaking.
Yes, it'll do that to you. The noise is as much a weapon as the high explosive. I've seen men under a barrage like that curl up and weep like babies.
So many of them.
All of them.
How can anyone survive? There'll be nothing left for us, comrade.
They'll be there, Gitmanov. Don't fool yourself, they won't be. They've nowhere left to go now.
Except down into their graves.
You know, even a man with no hope left will fight to live. I've seen that. That's how we are. You see? They're firing back.
Let's get going, comrade. There's history to be made out there.
Not yet. We risk getting our tanks hit by our own fire.
You can't make an omelette without breaking eggs, comrade. I say we go.
And I'm the commander of this corps, and I say we wait.
General Tolbukhin will eat you alive.
Telephonist? Give me the artillery commander.
What are you up to, Novikov?
Wait. Wait.
Comrade Colonel, Major Grechkov.
Have you the coordinates for the anti-tank batteries? Good. Lay me down a 30-second barrage. Everything you've got, mind. I won't lose a man or a tank unnecessarily, Gitmov. Our job is to kill the enemy, not ourselves. Come on, Grechkov. Come on, Grechkov.
Corps observation post. Yes, Comrade General.
Comrade General. I'm waiting for the barrage to finish. I'm clearing out his anti-tank positions. Yes, Comrade General.
He said go, didn't he? Go!
Wait. We wait. Telephonist, give me Major Bielov.
Good man.
Comrade Colonel, he's on the line.
Bielov? Attack! Now!
Ilarion Inokentievich Neudobnov. I was chief of staff to the corps commander, Colonel Novikov, during Operation Uranus. I remember saying, after that first attack, yes, when he came back with our Commissar Getmanov, I told him I'd had a personal call from General Yeremenko, the supreme commander in the Stalingrad Theatre. He commended the Fourth Corps, and Colonel Novikov in particular, for completing the pincer movement. Getmanov gave our commander a Russian thank you, he said, and I noted it down. I thank you as a communist. I take my hat off to you. And he did. He took it off, and they embraced. Yeah, it was all very moving. I was, I have to say, a little concerned about Colonel Novikov's constant references to Shaposhnikova, his mistress. Given her relationship with unreliable social elements, he appeared smitten to me. The emotions can lead us... well... I recall later that first night, when I was catching up on the Corps diary in my billet, Commissar Getmanov dropped by and, yes, he said, Comrade General, I've written a letter about the way the Corps commander delayed for 5 minutes at the start of a crucial operation that could decide the outcome of the Great Patriotic War. I'd like you to take a look at the letter. Which I did. Yes, I did that.
Comrade, how's it going? Is the fuel getting through?
Everything's fine, Comrade Colonel. I'm on fuel and food and all there when we need it. Come and think we haven't got.
What's that, lad?
Let it sleep.
Ah, comrade, we can sleep, but we're dead.
And the bloody infantry. Where are the bloody infantry?
Noted, comrade. All right, carry on.
Carry on off. Take us to the forward observation box.
As you say, Comrade Colonel.
Telephonist, get me Colonel Markov at the Infantry Corps. Now.
Yes, Comrade Colonel.
Colonel, I've just had a call from the Air Force Chief of Staff. They're transferring our air cover to the left flank.
They must be bloody crazy.
No, it's not that. It's just that some people would prefer us not to be the first corps to enter the Ukraine. There are other commanders out there with their eye on the order of Suvorov. They know that without air cover, we'll have to call a halt.
I have Colonel Markov, Comrade Colonel.
Markov? Comrade, I'm concerned about the gap opening up between our 2 points of advance. No, I'm not blaming you or your men. I'm saying that we must keep pace with each other. Otherwise, we could allow the enemy a chance of breaking out. Just ensure you do. Get me GHQ.
Sir.
Comrade General, I have a job for you.
Of course, Comrade.
I want you to get over to the Infantry Corps and impress upon Markov that he needs to keep his positions according to the plan. Use whatever means you have to, but keep him up to the mark.
I'm not sure I understand, Comrade Colonel.
You're a bloody secret policeman. Make him understand what'll happen if he slacks off, right?
Comrade Colonel, I have GHQ.
Where's my bloody air support?
That's it, boys! Toast them! Blow the ticking down!
Ah, Comrade Colonel. A letter for you.
Thank you. I'll read it later.
What? Keeping the lovely Shaposhnikova waiting? Shame on you.
We've more important concerns right now, Comrade Commissar. Here's how I see it.
Sandridge, Comrade Colonel.
The only problem we have is with the men falling asleep in their tanks during combat. They're worn out. Most of them haven't slept for 5 days.
Well, what about the general situation?
There's no risk of a counter-offensive at this time.
Good. Now, listen to what I've got to say. Neudobnov and I have been right to the top. We spoke to Nikita Sergeyevich. He confirmed we will not lose our air support.
But Khrushchev has no military authority at all.
Well, yes and no, Comrade Colonel. As you said to me, everything has its priorities. We keep our air support as long as we need it.
And the roads are still passable. There is absolutely no reason at all why this tank corps shouldn't be the one to liberate Mother Ukraine.
I told Nikita Sergeyevich, our men are begging us to push forward. Their greatest dream is to be called the Ukrainian Brigade.
There's only one thing they're dreaming of, a few hours' sleep.
But we are still pushing ahead.
I've inspected the forward positions. We shall call a halt for 10 hours. The men need to recover their strength. They need a rest.
10 hours? We'll throw everything away if we lose 10 hours. It's impossible.
Wait a moment. We need to think about this.
I've already thought about it.
Oh, and now you want to hurry off and read your love letter, eh?
That's none of your business.
But this corps is. To hell with the men. What does it matter if they haven't done enough sleep? There'll be time to sleep when they're dead, comrade. You're dithering, and yes, I protest. First you delayed the beginning of the offensive, and now you want to put the men to bed. Oh. This is becoming a habit with you. I'm going to report this to the military Soviet. What do you think you're running here, a nursery school?
Wait a moment.
Let me be quite frank here. As a communist, I feel, and I know the comrade general agrees with me, deeply disturbed that you, a true son of the people, should be influenced by alien elements.
So, it's like that, is it? I am in command here. What I say goes. As for you, comrade commissar, for all I care, you can write your reports, stories, whole novels about me. And you can send it to whoever you please. Send it to Stalin if you like. And now excuse me.
Where he's going to read his letter from his whore.
Oh, you know, comrade. I don't think that, well, I have a feeling that things are about to change. For all of us.
Zhenya! Zhenya! What have you done to me?
General Nyadovnov, please transmit this order to all brigade commanders as of 1200 hours this day. The advance continues. The Ukrainian brigade will, under the inspired leadership of Joseph Stalin and Nikita Khrushchev, complete its mission and liberate Mother Ukraine. Weeks later, after an advance of 400 kilometres, fighting all the way, the 4th Corps was withdrawn to overhaul the tanks and to bring the brigades up to their full strength. Colonel Novikov was summoned to Moscow to report to the General Staff. I don't know if he returned to his corps. General Nyadovnov was put in command. I was posted as party secretary to the newly liberated Donbass region, a post considered of particular importance by the Central Committee. There were those who said Novikov's summons was because of his decisions to hold back at decisive points in the campaign, or because of compromising ties of a personal nature, or because he disagreed with his commissar, a man with an excellent record. The day after Colonel Novikov was removed from duty, I wrote a letter to the General Staff Committee protesting at the removal of a commanding officer of outstanding abilities who was, both politically and morally, above reproach. I do know that the day after his summons and before he left the corps, Pyotr Pavlovich Novikov told me that he'd just had his first good night's sleep since the beginning of the campaign.
In Novikov's story, Novikov was played by Don Gillet, Zhenya by Raquel Cassidy, and Getmanov by Philip Jackson. Nyadovnov was Peter White, Galina, Jane Wittenshaw, Nikki, Simon Bubb, Mashuk, Peter Polikarpu, and Fershkov, Stuart McLaughlin. Other parts were played by Sean Baker, Jonathan Forbes, James Lely, Daniel Rabin, and Alan Raglan. Life and Fate, Novikov's story, was dramatised by Mike Walker from the novel by Vasily Grossman. The directors were Alison Hindle and Jonquil Panting.
And Life and Fate continues this evening with a look at the German side of the war. And you can read Andrew Marr's blog about Grossman's life and fate on the Radio 4 website.